a week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson tipped off his latest Game Room podcast with women's professional basketball. Our Voice of America listeners can enter the Game Room anytime via voanews.com. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to the Game Room. Wait for sports to return. Sports is making plans to return.
With the first pick in the 2020 WNBA draft, the New York Liberty select Sabrina Ionescu from the University of Oregon.
The Women's National Basketball Association is stocking its teams with new players, starting with number one overall draft pick, Sabrina Ionescu.
Everyone along the way helped me achieve this goal, whether it was my family, whether it's friends or old teammates. Everyone really that was on this road with me helped me get to the point where I am now. But probably just from a really young age when I started playing and really enjoyed playing and fell in love with the game is when I wanted to become a professional.
And more new players followed as WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert announced the selections in the virtual draft held on video conferencing.
With the second pick in the 2020 WNBA draft, the Dallas Wings select Satu Savali from the University of Oregon.
Satu Savali was a star at the University of Oregon and comes from Germany.
The cultural aspects and my experiences will bring me a lot as a WNBA player. I'm able to travel. I'm able to live anywhere in the world. I'm really a person that can adapt really fast, so I'm not worried about playing overseas because overseas is my home, and I even see America as my home now. You know, I have really been in Dallas a lot of times, so I even see that as my home. I'm really not shy of just moving into new places and adapting to new people and a new team.
The WNBA also drafted three very special players.
The WNBA selects Alyssa Altobelli, guard from Newport Beach, California. Second, the WNBA selects Gianna Gigi Bryant, guard from Newport Beach, California. And with the third honorary pick, the WNBA selects Peyton Chester, San Juan Capistrano, California.
The teenagers, including the daughter of NBA great Kobe Bryant, were players at Bryant's Mamba Sports Academy basketball school and among the nine people, including Kobe Bryant, who died in a helicopter crash on January 26th. Vanessa Bryant wished the new WNBA players good luck and thanked the league for its gesture.
Kobe and Gigi loved the WNBA, so thank you for honoring.
Tour is the first major U.S. sports organization to announce its return, with the Charles Schwab Challenge teeing off June 8th in Fort Worth, Texas. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan says the first four tournaments will be held without fans, as players, caddies, and tournament officials and volunteers practice social distancing. The memorial, hosted by golf legend Jack Nicklaus and originally set to begin June 1st, gets pushed back into July. Nicklaus is ready to see a flurry of top golf in the second half of the year, including the Masters, which he won five times.
As the way the schedule sort of worked out, with the British canceling and the U.S. Open moving back and PGA moving back, and to get the Masters in, you get all four. You won't get the British in because they've canceled, but you get all the other majors in, and you may have a pretty darn good year in golf.
The Masters, golf's first major tournament each season, is usually held in March. For the first time ever, it will be played in November.
There's a lot of fans that will want to come to Augusta even in November. It's a pretty time of year. They won't have the flowers, but they've got a good one. The golf course, if they get the ryegrass in shape, will be good. It'll be a good test of golf. So I'm delighted to see Augusta do that. I think it's great for the game of golf.
Jack Nicklaus, in a conversation on ESPN, said he is anxious, like everyone else, to get back to a more normal life.
I hope we get this pandemic over. We haven't left this house for 3 weeks. And so we've just sort of holed up here, and we haven't seen our kids. We haven't seen anybody. I'm sure there's many, many, many more people who've seen exactly the same thing and have been in the same situation. But it's important, and it's really, really needs to be. We need to be smart about what we're doing right now, and make sure that when we come out of this as healthy as we can possibly be.
Current top golfers also shared their thoughts on spending time at home to help stop the spread of coronavirus, like Spaniard Sergio Garcia.
Some of the things that my family and I were doing to make sure we had a pleasant time and stay as busy as we can and be safe is obviously we spend a lot of time in the house, a little bit of cooking here and there, watching some movies here and there, which is nice. You know, we've been doing puzzles. So just try to stay very active.
Justin Rose of England is ready to play again.
I miss the energy of you guys out on tour, and also the color and distraction almost. And there's a lot going on out on the golf course when you guys are all there with thousands and thousands of people. And you guys really force us to focus harder and to really tunnel in and to bring the best of ourselves. So that's what I miss.
English compatriot Ian Poulter is finding creative ways to keep his golf skills sharp.
I'm just trying to have fun in and around the house, whether it's chipping off the roof or whether it's chipping into buckets and targets or going in the gym or the occasional bike ride as a family. We're trying to make good of obviously what is a very different situation that we find ourselves in today.
American Matt Kuchar wants to play and watch other sports too.
I can't wait to get back, get competing, get out there inside the ropes and try to win golf tournaments. But I also can't wait to sit down on the couch and watch other sports and watch the highlights again. I dearly miss kind of any and everything as far as that goes, and can't wait for us to get back to some sort of normalcy.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
And you can get Jim Stevenson's Game Room anytime via voanews.com.
Yes, sporting greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In African slums, boxing clubs are seen as a good way to keep young men off the streets. Let them take out their frustrations through sport rather than crime and provide a way out of poverty. In Uganda, though, one woman has stepped into the ring to not only win medals on the continent, but also empower young women to stay off the streets and defend themselves. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
Helen Maleke was walking one night in Katanga slum, her Kampala neighborhood, when a young man approached her and started touching her.
I didn't like boys touching me. I knew that if he did, the end result would be pregnancy and HIV. So when he groped me, I wanted to fight, but he beat me up.
Maleke returned home with a bloody nose. She did not tell her mother about the attack or how she planned to deal with it. Maleke began sneaking out of the house early in the morning to train as a boxer.
I waited
for her, and when she returned, she told me, "Mama, I have knocked out a girl." And I said, "What? You have knocked out a girl?" I told her, "You will be beaten, but never come here crying. The day they beat your eye and pluck it out, it will be on you." I wasn't happy at all.
Maleke's mother warmed up to her daughter's boxing, though, as she kept training, competing, and winning. At the African Games in Rabat, Morocco, she won a bronze medal, becoming Uganda's first medal-winning female boxer in 18 years. Maleke also trains other women, such as hairdresser Maureen Ajambo, to box for self-defense and to help young women stay off the streets.
I see so many girls. They are young. They drink booze. They get pregnant. Some get the virus that causes AIDS. They can't take care of their children or themselves. They take drugs. They take everything that gets them high. It hurts me.
Kampala's Katanga slum is home to 20,000 urban poor who live in crowded conditions and where women are often victims of crime. Coach at Katanga's Rhino Boxing Club, Innocent Kaparata, says more and more young women in the slum are joining the club.
Most of those who come to train do it to seek revenge, but I strive to take it out of them, saying we don't train boxers for revenge, but to stay fit and healthy. Something else, boxing is a business. You could get lucky and make some money.
To help the women earn money the most quickly and so they can keep boxing, Maleke set up a tailoring workshop, whether teaching how to punch a needle through cloth or an opponent in the ring. Maleke is empowering young women in Uganda's Katanga slum. Halima Athumani, VOA News, Kampala.
Hello, listeners. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Make a difference by honoring ordinary people doing extraordinary things to help one another. VOA encourages you to tell us about everyday people who have shown leadership in your communities during the coronavirus crisis. Submit your nominations to VOA Leaders at voanews.com. Send us your name, phone number, and email, and a VOA reporter will contact you. We're all in this together.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. European football's governing body, UEFA, announced Thursday the Euro 2021 Women's Championship, to be hosted by England, will be held 1 year later in July 2022. As the football calendar remains at a standstill due to the coronavirus pandemic, a new report published by the International Players Union says the recent progress of women's soccer is at risk of being undone. My VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, has more. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. In the report, FIFPro warns the impact of the coronavirus outbreak could present an existential threat to women's soccer if no measures are taken to protect the game. The union is calling for continued financial support of women's soccer worldwide and says female players could lose their livelihoods in the aftermath of the pandemic. Jonas Bayer Hoffman is the general secretary of FIFPro, and he believes the consequence of the suspensions will be much greater for the women than the men.
Very much, I think it is fair to say that it's going to be hit much harder, yes. The men's game has more financial capital, but also just more operational attention and political attention in this time of crisis. And that not being applied puts a huge risk at the women's game. For being hit harder and therefore to be thrown back many years of its development if we don't pay attention to it now.
The pandemic has disrupted the international football calendar at a time when women's soccer was enjoying a boost in visibility, driven by the success of last year's World Cup tournament. And Bayer Hoffman says the soccer industry and the players themselves have been dealt an additional blow with the postponements of both the Women's European Championships and the Tokyo Olympic Games.
It is a massive hit to the game, absolutely. And we must also understand it's not just the big tournaments. Many of the female players are very much dependent in terms of their income for representing their country. They usually have a dual income stream between their club and their national team football. Now, when there are no games played, many of those players will be struggling to receive that compensation from the federations, which may just force them out of their professional careers. But when it comes to the tournaments themselves, they are the biggest spotlight by far. And I think the combination of the values of the women's game, which run a little bit outside of the purely commercial scope, combined with the patriotism of course, a World Cup and everything that comes with it, that has had an enormous draw in society, which is fantastic. So we need those tournaments, obviously, to be played. It was an understandable decision with the Olympics moving that then the Euros would have to move as well. Simply also from a calendar perspective, having two of those major events in the same year, plus a men's Euro, would have been incredibly challenging, of course. But we need those events to keep driving the public attention and the public buy-in to what this game offers on the women's side, which is maybe different and in some ways more interesting or better than on the men's side to some of the people who enjoy the game.
Bayer Hoffman believes football clubs on the men's side will bounce back, but he's not as optimistic for the women. And he says efforts must be made to ease the financial burden on women's soccer during the crisis.
Can we now protect those? Or do we fall back into the era where it was before, where it really wasn't sustainable to be a footballer, where it really was more an amateur game? And that, of course, doesn't allow the game to thrive because the player they can't put the time in, they can't put the commitment in to really be the best that they can be. And then overall, of course, the development of the game in society is slowing down. So it's, again, it's many factors, but we do have a concern that simply the growth won't be sustained and that we will lose some of the clubs, especially those who are not affiliated to bigger men's teams that can maybe carry the financial burden easier.
Kim Little is a FIFPro player council member and team captain for Arsenal. She says the uncertainty that surrounds the coronavirus pandemic has put players in a vulnerable position.
We're in this, you know, uncertain time right now, which none of us could have predicted. And I think because of the stage of where the female game's at, I think it puts a lot of players in a vulnerable position in terms of, you know, what they do for a living, because the circumstances that a lot of players work in are, you know, very unstable in the sense that contracts aren't particularly long. Some players, you know, have to work, you know, another job because, you know, financially they can't just live off their footballing wage.
And Little says the postponements have halted the forward progress of the game.
There's been a lot of time and effort and progress that's been made within the game over the past, you know, decade, even longer. And the World Cup last year was also, you know, the biggest and most current example of, you know, how much it's growing. And I think by the delay of, you know, the Euros next year and other, you know, tournaments, you know, the visibility of the game is not there. And I think to keep it progressing at the same rate, there needs to be, you know, the right decision made to not allow that to affect the progress of our game.
Jonas Bayer Hoffman says the published report is a call to action to ensure the women's football industry is protected.
We need the stakeholders to all come together now, because everybody can contribute. The women's game needs the club and the national team football. We need a broad base in many countries. We need coordination, because of course in many countries the resources in the women's game are not very developed. So there's guidance that the global sectors, the confederations can give. So we want everybody to chip in and to build a plan how we build the game.
FIFPro plans to release a larger progress report on the growth and development of women's soccer later this month. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, everyone. It's Taco Fall. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We all doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. Grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews and video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBATogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Gezahenya Abera, who won a gold medal for Ethiopia in the men's marathon at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. And the following year, Abera won the marathon at the World Championships in Edmonton, Canada, becoming the first man to hold both titles. Abera was born April 23rd, 1978. Another one of his big marathon titles came in 2003 when he won the London Marathon. And although his athletics career was cut short by injuries, it was also lucrative. He and his wife, Elfinesh Alemu, herself a former top marathon runner, now operate their own hotel and property development business. Happy birthday, Gezahenya Abera. And happy birthday to Nigerian footballer Victor Anichebe, who was born April 23rd, 1988 in Lagos. Victor played most recently for the Chinese club Beijing Enterprises in 2017. He's best known for his time at the Premier League club Everton between 2006 and 2013. Victor made 131 appearances for Everton and scored 18 goals. And Victor was also a member of Nigeria's silver medal winning team at the 2008 Olympics in China. And that wraps up the April 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.